بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in tonight's Taraweeh Salah we heard the 20th juz being recited, which commences with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning various proofs of His Qudrat, His power, His greatness. And this really is or showcases the miracle of the Qur'an in a very unique style, unique way, using different modes of speech in a non-confrontational way, very passively. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents His case for His power, His greatness, His oneness. And then Allah asks the question, أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there any other ilah with Allah? So in a non-confrontational way, in a way that appeals to the listener or to the one who is listening to these verses or the one who Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is speaking to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these different proofs. And the goal, the objective is that the mushrikeen open their eyes, they realize that what they are worshipping cannot benefit them, cannot harm them, cannot assist them in any way. And rather they should turn their attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah asks the question first of all, Allahu khayrun amma yushrikun. Is Allah better or is that which they associate and ascribe as partners to Allah better? And then Allah mentions different proofs of His greatness. That أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ وَأَنْزَلَ لَكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. That being who created the skies and the earth, and He sent down water from the sky. فَأَنْبَتْنَا بِهِ حَدَائِقَ ذَاتَ بَهْجَةً. And by means of this water, Allah says, we caused gardens of flowers, of plants, beautiful colors, different types of fruit to grow. Then Allah says, مَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُنْبِتُوا شَجَرَهَا. You, O insan, would not have had the ability to make these trees, these plants, these flowers grow, had we not sent down the water from the sky. After Allah proves this, after Allah mentions this, then He asks, أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there any other ilah, any other deity, any other being worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We know insan, with all his advancements, all the technology, and all of his years and years of research, but he can't even create one blade of grass. Had it not been for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's model, Allah's system, or Allah's raw materials, insan still has to use some raw materials. Perhaps in some lab somewhere, they may be able to replicate some grass, or some flowers, or some plants, or whatever it may be. But still, the raw materials, where is it coming from? The brain that insan is using to design all of this, where is it coming from? So, insan always has to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second proof Allah mentions, أَمَّنْ جَعَلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا. What about that being who has made the earth firm for you? وَجَعَلَ خِلَالَهَا أَنْهَارًا. And then He causes rivers to flow through the land. وَجَعَلَ لَهَا رَوَاسِ. And then He has created mountains in order to keep the ground firm. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ حَاجِزًا. And He has created an unseen barrier between the two bodies of water. In other words, the river which has fresh and sweet water, and then the sea whose water is salty, it's not palatable. So Allah has created an unseen barrier between the two. So all of these bounties and blessings, where is it coming from? أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there any other deity, any other being worthy of worship besides Allah? أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ. Third, Allah mentions, who is that being who answers the distressed one when he calls out to him? That person who is in trouble, who is going through some pareshani, some worry, some grief, and he calls out to Allah. So who is the one who answers him? وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. And who is that being who removes evil, who removes difficulty? وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ. And He has made you deputies in the earth. In other words, He has established you. He has given you whatever it is that you have. أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there any other deity besides Allah? أَمَّنْ يَهْدِيكُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Who is that being who guides you in the darknesses of the land and the sea? When you are traveling from place to place, whether it be you are journeying by land or you are journeying by sea, and you are moving from one place to another, then who is the one who guides you? Who is the one who has created the moonlight, the light of the stars, the light of the sun, so that you can see where you are going to? وَمَنْ يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِ. And that being who sends the winds as a glad tiding before the rain. In other words, when the winds start to pick up, now a person realizes that the rain is on its way, it's going to come soon, so he prepares, he does what he needs to do. أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Again Allah asks the question, is there any other deity? Is there any other being in this world who is worthy of worship? Anyone else who you should put down your forehead before, or who you should raise your hands to and ask for assistance and help? There can't be anyone besides Allah. أَمَّنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَمَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who is that being who originated the creation? This is it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. If Allah did not create us, if Allah didn't give us life, then who, where would we have been? If Allah didn't give us iman, if Allah didn't make us from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ يُعِيدُ, then Allah cautions that Allah is the one who originated the creation, and Allah is the one who will repeat it once again. Allah will raise you from the dead. Allah will once again resurrect you on the day of Qiyamah. وَمَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ, and who is the one who is providing for you, who is sustaining you, who is keeping you alive? أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ, again Allah asks, is there any other ilah with Allah? There is nobody else. So in this very beautiful way, Allah mentions these different proofs of His greatness, of His qudrat, of His power, so that insan can realize, so that insan takes a step back and looks at the bounties, the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for him, and he realizes which is, or he realizes where is the hand that is feeding me. It is not my business, my shop, or the bank manager, or some other outer means that I see around me. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Therefore my allegiance, my loyalty, my obedience should only be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, despite proving it so beautifully and so emphatically and clearly, still those who Allah had decreed that they are going to be shaqi, they are going to be wretched people, they are not going to have the good fortune of iman, to them, no matter what proof was brought by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they were not prepared to listen. So Allah then says to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى, that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, don't become sad and grieved over this, because you are not able to make those who are dead hear anything. If you have a dead body in front of you, no matter how much you speak to it, it's not going to hear. وَلَا تُسْمِعُ السُّمَّ الدُّعَى, and if somebody is deaf and he is standing in front of you, you can scream at him, you can shout at him, you can command him how much you want, but he's not going to hear anything. So Allah likens the disbelievers, those whose hearts have been sealed, to either those who are dead, they have no life within them, or that person who is deaf, he cannot hear. In other words, no matter what guidance you give to him, no matter how many times you try to explain to him or show him the greatness of Allah, he is not going to listen, he is not going to hear. So this is with regard to the kuffar, the disbelievers. And then under this particular verse, a very interesting discussion has been mentioned, where the fuqaha speak about the aspect of sama'ul mawta, what is, or rather, whether those who are in the grave, those who have left this world, can they hear us or not? So this is a very lengthy discussion, a very technical discussion as well, but the gist of it, there is difference of opinion even amongst the sahaba radiallahu anhum. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha would quote this verse, and she would say that it is not possible for the dead to hear. You can stand at the grave and you can speak to the person, but he can't hear you. So she would mention this verse, that إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى, that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you cannot make the dead hear your speech or your call. But majority of the other sahaba radiallahu anhum were of the opinion that with Allah's permission, the dead are able to hear. So if a person, one is the incident during the Battle of Badr, which we heard recently also, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had completed the victory, and then the bodies of the kuffar that were laying there on the battlefield, so he commanded sahaba radiallahu anhum to take those bodies and dispose of them in a well. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stood at the front of that well, and he began to address these corpses, these bodies, and he said to them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a promise, and I have found Allah's promise to be true. Have you not found Allah's promise to be true? So this is one proof that they have mentioned, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was speaking to those who had already left this world. Together with that, various other ahadith that have come. One hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that no person who leaves this world and then you go and stand at his grave and you speak to him, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates that ability within him to hear what you are saying. And he gets a report back of what is happening in this world. So the gist of it, the khulasa or the summary of this entire discussion, is that if Allah wills, we are not saying that it happens all the time, the person should not go to the graveyard now and start having long conversations with the people there. But if Allah wills, if Allah wants it to happen, then Allah does, of course, Allah has the ability to make it happen. And those who are in the grave can hear what we are saying to them. And that is why we find many ahadith also when a person goes to the graveyard. A person will ask the question that if everybody has left this world already, what is the point of me going to the graveyard? I can send Isa alayhi sawab from home or from wherever I may be. But yet we are encouraged to go and stand at the grave of our loved ones. A person goes to the qabristan, he doesn't just stand at the front, at the entrance and read, but he goes to the grave of that family member of his, or that friend of his. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create that ability within the person, and he'll then have the ability to hear what we are saying to him. So this is with regard to Sama'ul Mawta, and thereafter we completed with Surah Al-Naml, and we commenced with Surah Al-Qasas, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in great detail the incident of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. This also we have heard many a times before, and various different lessons we can take from here. Just one that we'll mention is when it comes to the condition of the mother of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So we are all well aware of the situation surrounding his birth, that Fir'aun had commanded that the male children to be born to the Bani Israel were to be executed. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is born in that particular year. His mother is afraid, she is worried about his life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the mother of Nabi Musa, وَأُوحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي. Allah says, we inspired her to continue breastfeeding him. And then, فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ, when you are fearful, when you are worried about his safety, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ, then take this young child, place him into a box, secure that box, and then place it into the river. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. And once you have done this, you have complied with my command, then do not be fearful, do not grieve, do not be worried. إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكَ. Allah says, we will return him to you. And more than that, وَجَعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We will bestow upon him the honor of the mantle of nubuwwat, of prophethood. We will make him our Nabi, our Rasul. So, she places her trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, logically, this makes absolutely no sense. A young, an infant who can barely fend for himself, he requires his mother 24/7. And now you are taking him and throwing him into the river. This is almost certain destruction. But because it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she complies with this, and what is the end result? Allah eventually returns him to her, and not only that, but Allah causes Fir'aun to pay her to breastfeed her own child. When the child was then picked up by Fir'aun and his wife, they realized that he is not suckling, he is not drinking the milk of any other woman, and this child is going to perish, is going to die. So they send out a message that, is there any woman who can come forward and perhaps try and breastfeed this child? So the sister of Nabi Musa goes and says that, I know of a woman whose milk is good and healthy, and perhaps you can try. So this child is then brought to her, not knowing that this is his mother, the mother of Nabi Musa. And once they realize that he is drinking from her breast, now Fir'aun decides to pay her. So she is paid a wage to feed her own child, where she had thought, I am throwing this child to certain destruction. But because it's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she listens to him, she complies with his command, this is the result. Allah turns the entire situation around. Not only he protects Musa alayhi salam, but that same Musa will then one day destroy Fir'aun and take away his entire kingdom. So this is a lesson for us as parents, as grandparents. We keep on saying that we are worried, we are concerned, the environment in today's time, and it is something to be worried about, something to be concerned about. What is going to happen to our children, our grandchildren, 5, 10 years from now? We don't know what the situation will be in this country and in the world at large also. But the lesson that we learn from the story is that as long as the father, the mother, the parents are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will comply with Allah's commands and we will make those decisions for our children which are in the best interest of their deen and their akhirat, then Allah's promise is Allah will take care of them. Against all odds, no matter what it may be, the child will be walking on the road. It's a dangerous road. But he's on his way to the masjid. The father is not at home. But the child can't read the salah at home. That boy is growing up. But because we have placed our trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will protect them. Allah will take care of them. So this is from the incident of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. One more verse and we'll terminate. Towards the end of the 20th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hijrah, his journey from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. And of course this was under very trying circumstances. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was, so to say, kicked out from Makkah Mukarramah. Now we can imagine a person grew up in Asheville, perhaps. He was born here. His father, grandfather, great-grandfather all lived here. He doesn't know anything besides Asheville and Durban. Everyone, he knows the neighbors, he knows the community members, he's comfortable here. And those who are closest to him kick him out. They say, we don't want to see you again. So in the dead of night, he has to leave. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves, and when he reaches a place called Juhfa, where there was a fork in the road, and those who were traveling on that road would turn in one direction to go to Makkah Mukarramah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees this fork in the road, and he sees the direction of Makkah, and his heart is full of grief that I have to leave Makkah Mukarramah. How beloved a town, a city it is to me. So at this stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the verse, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. That being who has sent the Qur'an to you, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will send you back to your original place. In other words, Allah is promising Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that one day you will come back to Makkah Mukarramah, and not just in any condition. Today you are leaving, so to say, with your tail between your legs, in a condition where you are forced out. And how they are humiliated and disgraced Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah will send you back one day with honor, with respect, with dignity, and you will come back to Makkah Mukarramah as a victor, and you will conquer the city. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cools the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, the lesson we take from here is that although at times a person's condition may be difficult, he may think he is down and out, but again, if he remains true to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, then very quickly Allah will turn the situation around and give that person honor and dignity and respect. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.